There we go. Merry Christmas once again. Wonderful morning to have you all here. Welcome to all our guests, all the family that's here visiting. It's so, so good to have you here. If you have your Bible this morning, you can open to Luke chapter 2. We are going to be quickly looking at the Christmas story. And this morning we're going to be doing something different. We've never done this before, a family service. And so we're going to see how it goes. And I want to ask the kids to listen up nicely and pay attention. I'm going to ask you some questions. But we want to read there the first 16 verses of Luke chapter 2. But before that, let's just go to the Lord and ask Him to bless His word. Heavenly Father, we give You praise and glory this morning, Lord. We thank You so much that You've given us Your word. We thank You that Jesus Christ, who came to be born for us, is the word of God. But we thank You, Lord, that You left us with the Bible, that we may know You, that we can know everything about You, that we will never forget, Lord. Although it's been 2,000 years or more since You came as a baby, Lord, we still know the truth because we still have Your word. And I want to thank You for that this morning. I want to pray, Lord, as we read, as we just look at these verses, may You come and bless every heart. May You lift up and open up the eyes of our understanding, Lord, that we may see the wonder of Christmas. We thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 2 says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went with up to Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" I want to ask the children this morning, children, listen up. Who of you like to receive gifts for Christmas? A couple of you. Okay, most of you receive. How many of you received the gifts for Christmas? Only a couple of you. All of you. Okay, great. Did you like receiving this gift? Yes. Why did you like receiving this gift? Because it was something that you probably wanted, right? And so you liked receiving that gift. Well, I want to tell you today about the greatest gift that has ever been given in the universe by God Himself. Can anyone tell me what that gift was? Yes. Jesus Christ was that gift. And why is He the greatest gift that's ever been given? Do you know that? She knows. He is holy, yes, but what do you think is He's the greatest gift for all mankind? What do you think? He died on the cross for our sins. You know what? John 3:16, the verse you know so well, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall have everlasting life," right? Everlasting life. That's why it's the greatest gift ever. No one else could give you everlasting life. It's all about that wonderful life that is eternal. So Jesus, He comes, He saves us from sin. He also saves us and He gives us eternal life. And so that's why He is the greatest gift, because in Him we have everlasting life. There's never been something like that before He came. That's why Christmas, we celebrate that, because those who believe in Jesus Christ, who paid for their sins, they have everlasting life. And I want to look this morning just at a couple of things about the greatest gift, and I want you kids to remember this. The first thing about the greatest gift ever given is it was a real gift. It was a real gift. In verse 1 it says, it came to pass in those days. I want to tell you kids, this is not like a movie or like a fairy tale. It says long, long ago, once upon a time. This is not. This is a real story that really, really happened. This is a real gift that we're talking about. It's not, and you have to sort of break it off from all the other things in the world because there's so many stories around. This is the truth. I mean, how many of you would like a pretend gift for Christmas? Do you like your parents to give you a pretend gift? Let's just pretend we give you a gift. No, you wouldn't like that, right? Because you want a real gift. And the real gift of the Christmas gift, the greatest gift, is a real gift. That's why the story is about it. It talks there about a guy called Caesar Augustus. He was a real Roman emperor living in a real time. He was the guy who brought the great peace, we call it the Pax Romana, into the Roman Empire. So he was quite a significant guy. It says there in verse 2 and 3 that there was a census, and it took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. This just means it's all happenings that you can look up, even in secular history. These things happened. It is a real gift. The second thing you have to remember this morning is it is a promised gift. It is a gift that was promised a long time ago. In verse 4, we read there, Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. You see, this city was prophesied such a long time ago. It's an insignificant, unimportant little city that you wouldn't want to be part of, really, at all. But it was because he was part of the lineage of David that he had to go to his birth city to register there. Kids, has someone ever promised you something and didn't give it to you? My kid, that would be my kid. What does it feel like? Tell us, Ben. It's not good, is it? If someone promises you something and you don't get it, it's just not a good thing at all, right? It's something you want to receive what you've been promised such a long time ago. So this is a real gift, but it's also a promised gift that God promised, you know? God is not like people. And about 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, God prophesied by the prophet Micah. He said in Micah 5 verse 2, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." So he spoke about the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah, or they may say the Mashiach, the one who came to save us from our sins. It was prophesied 700 years before he came. And it's interesting that Jesus, when he was born in Bethlehem, because Jesus said in John chapter 6, he's the bread that's come down from heaven. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. And so everything in the Bible fits together. It's so beautiful. But then, as God gives us this gift of promise and sustenance, it says there in verse 6 that so it was that they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So this really happened. It was little baby, a gift Jesus promised in this little manger. And it's, you know, the manger was not a nice little thing. I've said this many times. I don't want to spoil the Christmas story for you. But this was a stable where they were staying. This was not a nice hotel in clean linen. This was a stinky stable. There was a cow and a sheep and everything around, you know. And so, and they laid Jesus in the little crib because that's the only thing. This is where the animals were feeding from. But I want to ask you, kids, do you think that you can trust God if he promises something? Can we trust God? Yes, we can always trust God. You know, the Bible says in Titus 1 verse 2, it speaks of hope of everlasting life. And it says, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. I want you to understand this. God cannot lie. So if he promised a gift, he is going to give the gift. And that's exactly what we see happening that morning. But his promise is still for all of us who wants to open our hearts to receive Jesus Christ. God promised that he would make a way for us to live with him forever, and he did that. The third thing I want you to know about this wonderful gift is it was a heavenly gift. It was a gift from heaven. Verse 8 there, it tells us about the shepherds who were out in the fields in the same country that night, and they were looking after their flocks. And then we see an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. So this heavenly gift was announced in a spectacular way. How many, when you were born, there was an angel declaring, here's so-and-so being born? No, this was a wonderful birth. This was a heavenly gift that came in such an amazing way, with a heavenly host declaring the fact that he was born, so that no one can miss this. I always wonder, why would God allow this amazing message to go out to the shepherd people, the common people? The shepherds were living out there in the fields. They were looking after their flocks. He didn't go to the king. He didn't go to Caesar Augustus. He didn't go to King Herod of the area. He didn't go to the important people. He went to the common people, the shepherds. And so it's interesting for us to look at that, because the Bible often says God chooses the foolish and the weak things to confound the wise things of this earth. You see, for the same reason that he chose Mary and Joseph, they weren't important people. They were nobodies, really. And he picked them and gave them an amazing gift to share with the rest of the world. They were not special people at all. And this heavenly gift, I want to tell you, this gift of eternal life is for all people. That's why. That's why he went to the shepherds. Have you ever tried to reach the cookies? If I take my Christmas cookies in our house and I put it on the top shelf, I'm the only one who can reach them, right? So I'll be happy with eating the cookies. But if I put the cookies down on the counter, then everyone can share in the Christmas cookies. You understand? And that's exactly the same with this wonderful eternal gift that God gave us. Because he put it low so that everyone can have it. If he only gave it to King Herod, then it would have been in the palace and no one would have known about this wonderful gift. But now he gave it to the lowest of the people, and they went and distributed this great news across the country. It says, the angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord, and these people were afraid. Have you ever thought about that night, what it would have been like? Suddenly these guys are just, you just hear crickets, you know, and a sheep maybe standing up or whatever. It was lying down. It's a quiet, it's a silent night like we just sang. And suddenly there's an angel and there's light and glory of God. And the people said, we're afraid. And so glory of God was a great thing to see. And this was the way the greatest gift was pronounced and announced to the world, in this amazing way. Let me ask you one more thing, kids. What do you think? Do you think God gives good gifts to us? Yes. Do you think it's the only kind of gifts God gives to us? God gives good gifts to us. He gives us good gifts. He gives us perfect gifts. I want you to understand that. James 1 verse 17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. I want you to understand very clearly, this gift was that image, a picture for all time, that God only gives his best. God only gives a heavenly gift whenever he gives something to you. And it says that these people, as they heard it, the shepherds, there was tidings of great joy that the angel brought to them. They were excited to hear all about this. Tidings of great, great joy. It sounds great because it was the biggest gift ever. When he says tidings of great joy, it literally meant, it's the Greek word that means to spread the good news. To evangelize, that's really what he said. So that night, the angel was the first really one to evangelize the people, telling them about this great news of the little boy being born for them. The little boy who is actually God come into human flesh. And he says, I bring good tidings of great joy. Do you like great tidings of good joy? Is that something that you like? Then open your eyes to the ears of the heavenly gift, because Jesus gives us joy. The Bible says that if you are lacking joy, joy is found in the presence of God. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy. So I want to tell you, the adults too, if any of you during this time of the year, if you feel you are lacking in joy, maybe you should spend more time with the Lord, because in his presence is found that fullness of joy. And this good news, like I said, was for all people. Good news for all the people, not just the Jews. Imagine if God just gave the good news to the Jews. Then many of us would sit here today and we can't be saved, because the good news is only for the Jews. The good news is for all the people of the whole world, because God desires everyone to be saved. So let me ask you, do you think this heavenly gift that we're talking about is a good gift? Kids? Do you think it's a good gift? She thinks it's a good gift. Okay. So I want to ask you, what makes a good gift? What makes a good gift? When is a gift a good gift? What would you say, John? When is a gift a good gift? When it's big. When it's big. Okay. When it's big, it's a good gift. So this was definitely a big gift. Do you understand? Say on my way to church, I walked on the road and I found an old sweet someone stepped on. And I picked it up and I sort of just pushed it back together and I tightened the packaging again. And I came to you this morning, I said, Merry Christmas, and I gave you this old sweet. Yeah, see, do you think it would be a good gift? No, it wouldn't be a good gift. You say, you didn't even buy that thing. Where did you find that? You know, I don't want that. You know, would you like your parents to give you gifts like that on the way to, you know, church? They just find you something in the street? No, no. You want the gift to cost them something, right? You want it to cost them something that you can see it actually is part of them that they want to give to you, something that means something. Whether it's something that they made, they put a lot of effort into, or whether it's something they bought, something that cost them something. That's the kind of gift that you would like, right? So I want to ask you, what did this heavenly gift cost God? It cost him everything. It cost him everything. He gave his own beloved son, his only begotten son. He gave for all of us. It cost God everything to give us this gift. It's not something that came cheap at all. Because that's something that God has. He said in John 3:16, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Do you understand? That shows us the love of God for us. But so, okay, so say as I spend some money, so I give something of myself, but I buy you a prank gift. Say I buy you this cake for Christmas, and as soon as you open the cake, it explodes in your face or something, right? And I laugh at you like, ah, see, the cake's on your face. You know, that's not going to be good because my intention of giving you the gift was not the right intention. You see, so even if it cost me something and I'm not giving it with the right intention, then it's simply not a good gift. So we see that the gift from God, when he gave us the gift, he gave it with love and he gave it with the right intention to save us from our sins. In 1 John 4:9, it says, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. You see how much Jesus loves you. But now even if I pay something for a gift, say I spend some money on something and I give it with a good intention. I've got something here this morning. You know, this is a gift. So say this is a gift from me to you now, and I give you this gift. What is this? A heart. Do you think this heart can help you at all? Why do you like this heart? Because it's beautiful, right? But if I give you this heart, and you've got a heart problem, it can't help you at all. It's a beautiful little heart, but it's a stone heart. You know, I can hold it in my hand. And so I want to tell you that if you want to have a gift from someone that means something, it has to be a gift that you really, really need. It has to be something that is needed to make it a good gift. So I can give you this heart. If someone has a heart problem, I can say, there's a heart for you, and they can take this heart, but it's not going to help them at all. So you need a gift that you need, because if I give you something that is beautiful, you know, it may be nice for a moment, but it can't help you. So if you're looking for a heart, you're not looking for a beautiful heart, you're looking for a good working heart, right? You're looking for a heart that can do something for you. And that's exactly the kind of gift that God gave us. You see, it says there in verse 11, I want to read to you quickly, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There's born a Savior, he's Christ the Lord. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Because God gave us a Savior. That was the biggest thing that we needed. That was the biggest thing he had. It cost him everything. He gave it with the right intention. He gave it with love. And he gave it to us because we needed it so bad. You see, what is man's biggest problem? Man's biggest problem is sin. That's the biggest problem. Everyone sins, and so everyone is removed from God. So what is our biggest need? If sin is our biggest problem, our biggest need is to be saved from that sin. And so many people think they're good, and they think because they think they're good, they think they'll be fine with God. You ask them, do you think you're good? Like, yes, I'm sure I'm good. I'm a good person. And then once you start asking them some questions, you say, well, have you ever told a lie? It's like, yeah, well, I tell lies sometime. And you say, well, so what are you then? Like, I'm a liar. And so, well, have you ever stolen something? You say, well, you know, no. Well, you just told me you're a liar. And you say, okay, well, maybe I stole a pen from my friend once. You know, that still makes you a thief. And if you look at these things that the Bible tells us, it shows you that there is sin in your life. All men have sinned, the Bible tells us, and fall short of the glory of God. And so that's why God gave what cost him the most. He gave it with a good intention, and he gave it what we needed the most, because he was the only one who could give it. You see, the greatest gift is forgiveness of sin and eternal new life. And there's no one else in the whole universe, even if you look beyond all the planets, everywhere in the heaven, on the earth, there's no one else who could give you this great gift except the Lord himself. And that's why he gave us a Savior. Do you know Jesus? The name Jesus means Yahweh is the name we call for God. Yahweh is salvation. That's what Jesus' name means. And so even as he's been given with his name, that's what he came for that one reason, the whole reason why he was born, to come and save mankind from sin. And so we often think about the Christmas story and think, that's beautiful, that's nice, little baby. But that baby grew up so that he could take our sins upon himself so that he can bring salvation to those who believed in him. I also want you to look at verse 12. It says, "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." Now, this is the greatest gift ever, but that's not the greatest packaging. Would you agree? Once again, say I have two gifts here this morning, and say I have one that's wrapped in beautiful, shiny, red Christmas paper with a silver bow around it, this beautiful box, and I have a little box on this side, like sort of just some rags around it, and I say to you, which one are you going to choose? And you open up the beautiful box, there's nothing inside. But the little box with the rags around it, it's got everything that you've ever wanted. And that's the big difference. And we all have that choice to make. Do you understand that? Because we all have a choice between the world and between God's kingdom. And those gifts are standing there. And the world looks so attractive. All the toys, all the things, it looks so attractive. You're like, I want that box. But inside that box is nothing. But this box, who came to us, this little wrapping, this swaddling cloth that was around this baby. This baby was a symbol of everything that you ever need in life and for godliness and for eternity. And so we do have a choice in that. The heavenly host, we see, gave glory to God in the highest, because so much of the Christmas story is just about worshiping God, about praising him for his greatness, what he's done for us. And so we can all praise him for that gift. The last thing I want you to know about the gift this morning is it is an available gift. Look at the last two verses there, verse 15 and verse 16. It says, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger." Isn't that amazing? They actually believed the story that the angel told them, and they went to find this baby in the manger. And when they found this little gift, they found that everything that God ever promised was true. Do you understand that? You know, it's like when I have a 10 rand, I've got a 10 rand here this morning. That's all I have left after Christmas shopping. I have a 10 rand here this morning. Who wants a 10 rand? Who wants a 10 rand? Okay. Who's coming to get it? There you go. Excellent. So I gave him the 10 rand because, why did I give it to him? Because he's the one who came to get it. Like many of you would sit here and say, well, I wish I had the 10 rand, but maybe, you know, I just couldn't get it. Or maybe I don't want to get up in front of all the people and walk to the front, you know. You should be like Jared and Ben, like grabbing for it, you know. That's what you want. And I want to tell you that this gift is here this morning. It's a gift that is available to all of you. And so if you don't have the gift of Jesus Christ, it's something that you have to grab at. It's not something, because so many people, unfortunately, you know, the thing about a gift is you have to receive it. If you don't receive the gift, it means nothing. I can have the greatest gift. I can have a whole case here behind me and I can say, okay, I've got 10 million rand. Who wants that? You know? And so maybe if you've seen me, that's the imaginary case I talked about. And so, you know, that's what God has. He's got something far above anything you can think or imagine for you. He's got eternal life available to every person, no matter how young, no matter how small, no matter where you come from, no matter how big, no matter how old. Jesus Christ came for every single one of us. And it's a gift that is available to just go and grab. Do you understand? But the thing is, why don't people accept the gift of eternal life? Because many people, they simply don't see their need for it. Some people say, well, 10 rand, you know, it's okay, just keep it, you know, that kind of thing. Like I said, if I say 10 million rand, then maybe some people would be more interested in that. But some people just don't see their need for this gift. They think, well, I don't need any help. I'm fine. I'm doing well. You know, my family life is going well. We're all fine. And they don't realize that there's a sickness in them, and that sickness is sin. They don't realize that they separate from God, and when they die, they're going to go to hell forever. They don't know that, and they don't understand that. And also, a lot of other people, they say, well, it's just too easy. It's too easy just to accept the gift, you know, because people want to work for what they have. If I tell you I've got 10 million rand and I'm going to give you, you can all buy 100 rand tickets afterwards, you know, and it's one of you are going to get it. Then I can tell you we're going to sell all the tickets this morning, because then you feel like you earned something. You worked for it. At least you gave something to receive something back. But if I give you a free gift, like the gift of salvation that God gave to the whole world, many people don't want that gift because it just, it's too easy. It can't be like that. I feel I have to work for the gift. But you have to understand, you can never, ever earn the gift of God. It's impossible. No one can work for that and say, you know, I have that gift because I paid for it at all. The only one who could pay for it is Jesus Christ. That's the reason why he came into this world. And so today, I'm standing here with the Word of God, and I'm offering you the gift that God offered, you know, so many years ago, 2,000 years ago. It's a gift that is wonderful. It's a gift that can give you everlasting life. It's a gift that's available. You just have to go and get it. You just have to want it, like Jared and Benya. You just have to run for it, and you know what? You will have the gift, because God has got an endless supply. He doesn't have one 10 rand like I do. He's got endless resources, and God wants to give it to you, but you must run to him, and it must be in the name of Jesus Christ. Because if you're trying your best to be right with God, maybe you're sitting here this morning, you think, well, I want to be good, and I'm trying to be right with God, then you're ignoring the free gift that he's given you. It's not about what you do. It's not about, I just have to work harder, I just have to go to church more, I just have to do this more. It's nothing about work. God saves us by his grace. It's a free gift that we have to accept in Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you that God loves you far more than any person can ever love you. How do we know that? He gave us his son. Can you think about giving your son or your daughter for someone else? Say someone committed a crime, some heavy, serious crime. Someone murdered someone or someone stole something. And the only way they can be set free is by payment of life. And I say, I'm going to take my son, Ben, and I'm going to give it so that that person can go free. That's inconceivable. We can't think of it, but that's what God did. So there's no doubt that God loves us more than anyone ever loved us. He was born for that reason, for dying for you and for me on the cross. That's why it's so amazing. Not only did the Almighty God humble himself for us, but he did it for us when we hated him. At that moment when we said, I want nothing to do with you, God. That's when he said, I love you and I'm giving you this gift. And I want to tell you, that Christmas gift that came more than 2,000 years ago is still today the greatest gift that the universe has ever had. There's nothing been like that ever. And you can still have the same forgiveness and salvation in Jesus Christ today that you could have 2,000 years ago. Because Jesus came for that exactly that reason. Romans 5:8 tells us, God demonstrates his own love towards us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so that just tells you that no matter how big your sin, because some people say, well, I can't take that because I'm not worthy of that. Yes, you're not worthy of that. But there's no amount of sin that can stand up to the gift of God. That's the amazing thing about Jesus Christ. His blood is more powerful than anything else in the universe. So no matter how big your sin is, there's nothing that can stop you from Jesus' love. He will love you. The only thing that can stop you from going to heaven is if you say, thank you, Jesus, but I don't want you. If you say, I don't want to receive that gift, then God can do nothing for you because he will never force himself on you. He loves you so, so much. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you are sitting here and you don't know for sure that if you die today, that you are going to heaven, then I want to ask you to consider this heavenly gift that God gave exactly for people like you and me. We have to do a couple of things. You have to admit your sin before God. You have to say, God, I'm a sinner. You have to realize that there's sin standing between you and God. Also, you have to believe everything that Jesus says about himself in the Word. You have to believe that he can save you from your sins. It's as easy as that. And then you have to confess your sins before him and say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me of my sins. And you know what? The Bible says, if you do that, you will have everlasting life. You will be part of the greatest gift that has ever been given. And my desire for all of you is to see you in heaven one day. I don't want to get there and say, someone sat in the church on one Sunday, on one Christmas morning, and they didn't receive the gift. This gift is available to you this morning. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a given. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's like math. 1 plus 1 equals 2. It's like if you do that, you will be saved. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you don't know for sure that you have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the day for that. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because there's freedom in this gift. The last thing I want to tell you, there's a beautiful verse, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15. It says, thanks be to God for his indescribable good gift.